कृष्ण बृंद की जय नम चौल हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम जी कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु निच आनंद श्री अद्वैत गिदार हर शिव श्री गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गो गोपीना श्याम कुंवर कुन गिर गोविदान की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय श्री मायपुर नवदीप धाम की जय जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय जमुना माई की जय गंगा माई की जय श्रीमती तुलसी देवी की जय श्रीमती भक्ति देवी की जय श्रीमद भागवतम की जय ISKCON BBT Founder Charges Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premananda. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading Srimad Bhagavatam, the scheduled incarnations, Canto 2, text, or Chapter 7, text number 20. Chakram cha. Dikshu avihatam dasashu svatejo mantar manvantareshu manu vamsa daro bibarti dusteshu rajasu damam Vyadahat Sva Kirtim Satye Tri Preshta Usatim excuse me Usatim Pratyams Charitrai Chakram chadikshva vihatam dasasu svatejo. Manvantareshu manusvam sadaro bibharti. Dusteshu rajasudamam vidadat svakirtim. Satye tripishta usitim pratayam charitrai. Chakram chadikshva vihitam dasasu svatejo. Manvantareshu manuvam sadaro bibharti. Dusteshu rajasudamam vidadat svakirtim. Satye tripishta usatim pratayam charitrai. Chakram chadikshva vihitam dasasu svatejo. Manvantareshu manutam vamsa daro bibharti. Dusteshu rajasudamam vidadat svakirtim. Satye tripishta usatim pratayam charitrai. Satye Chakram cha dikshva vihitam dasa sutva tejo. Chakram cha dikshva vihitam dasa sutva tejo. Manvantareshu manuvam sadaro vibharti. Dushteshu raja sudamam vidadatsva kirtim. Satye tripristha sutam patayam. Matajis. Chakram chadikshva vahitam dasa sutva tejo. Chakram chadikshva vihitam tasa sutva tejo. Manvantareshu manuvam sadaro vibharti. Dushteshu raja sudamam vidadatsva kirtim. Satye tripristha usitam patatam. Chakram chadikshva vahatam dasa sutvateja. So synonyms, chakram, the Shurashan wheel of the Lord, cha, as well as, dikshu, in all directions, avihatam, without being deterred, dasasu, 10 sides, svatejaha, personal strength, Manvantareshu, in different incarnations of Manu. Manuvamsadara, as the descendant of the Manu dynasty. Bibharti, rules over. Dushteshu, unto the miscreants. Rajasu, upon the kings of that type. Dhammam, subjection. Vyadata, performed. Svakirting, personal glories. Satye, in the Satyaloka planet. Okay. Tripriste, the three planetary systems. Yusatim, glorious. Pratayan, established. Charitrai, characteristics. All right. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. As the incarnation of Manu, the Lord became the descendant of the Manu dynasty and ruled over the miscreant kingly order, subduing them by his powerful wheel weapon. Undeterred in all circumstances, his rule was characterized by his glorious fame, which spread over the three lokas, and above them to the planetary system of Satyaloka, the topmost in the universe. Purport. We have already discussed incarnations of Manu in the first canto. In one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus changing one after another. In that way, there are 420 Manus in a month of Brahma and 5,040 Manus in the year of Brahma. Brahma lives for 100 years according to his calculation, and as such, there are 504,000 Manus in the jurisdiction of one Brahma. This is one Brahma. Unbelievable. There are innumerable Brahmas, and all of them live only during one breathing period of Mahavishnu. Even more incredible. So we can just imagine how the incarnations of the Supreme Lord work all over the material worlds, which comprehend only 1/4 of the total energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Manvantara incarnation chastises all the miscreant rulers of different planets with as much power as that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who punishes the miscreants with his wheel weapon. The Manvantara incarnations disseminate the transcendental glories of the Lord. Om Agyanatimiranda Shaganandjanashalaka Chakshalam Tinandrena Tazmaisri Gurudevena Maha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Panchakalpa Dhruvyasya Kripa Sindhu Vevita Paritanam Pabhanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So, we've been hearing so much about the incarnations of Krishna in this second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And yes, when I was reading this particular verse, I thought, what in the world are we going to discuss here, to say the least. But anyway, these incarnations, they come and they chastise the miscreants, the rulers of different planets, with a lot of power, the same power as Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it's described, Yadya yadahi dharmesha glanya bhavati bharata vyutthanam adharmesya tadatmanam srijam yaham. You know, Krishna comes specifically whenever or wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant Bharata. And Krishna says, at that time I descend myself. There's also a rise of irreligion. So every time we read one of these pastimes, and Prabhupada describes it in the purport, it's always something to do with some miscreant, some rascal doing something that's irreligious. So this is the nature of Kali Yuga, this material world, that there's always these miscreants. That's why we're here. We're in this material world because we're one of those individuals. And then Krishna, he comes specifically to protect, to alleviate all this distress, as he says. And it says, Pratrinam sadunam vinasya chaduskritam dharma samstapaya parartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna says that he comes to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. Millennium after millennium. And we're now reading about all those particular pastimes of the Lord. And we're reading how he has delivered so many different types of living entities. So, although Krishna appears in a scheduled time period, still, he has no obligation. Really, Krishna has no obligation to appear at any particular scheduled time. So Krishna just says that, you know, whenever there's some difficulty, then I'll come. But Krishna, he's free to act in any capacity that he wants. He's not in any way regulated by some schedule. He can do whatever he likes. But when he does come, he does teach us the purpose of his coming. And sometimes when he comes on a scheduled time, everybody's very happy. So the principles of religion that we're discussing today, we're going to discuss the principles of religion that Krishna comes to reinstitute. So these principles of religion are laid down by the Vedas. If one does not adhere or doesn't execute the rules of the Vedas, they're considered to be irreligious. So this gives us a platform to understand who's a religious and who's irreligious. And this is what Krishna does. He comes to establish that, and he gives us the understanding of how to understand that particular point. So Krishna says to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Namam duskritino mudha papajade naradama mamaya pitagyan asuram bhavam asritaha. There Krishna is telling us who these guys are and who these individuals are. They're these miscreants. They're grossly foolish. Mudha. What said that? Grossly foolish means mudha. What is a mudha? Prabhupada gives a pretty good description I read previously that he says the mudha is a personality who actually just wants to do nothing but eat, sleep, mate, and defend. And that's the all-in-all of their life. They only think how to make money, how to enjoy the sense gratification, how to have sex, and how to eat anything they want. And this is a mudha, grossly foolish person. That person has a very difficult time coming and understanding Krishna. Very, very difficult. So, grossly foolish. And then the lowest of mankind. Prabhupada said that the lowest of mankind are those individuals who are, you know, they may be a little bit wealthy. They might be educated. They might have so many, you know, good material qualities. But one thing they don't have is they don't have any principles of religion. They don't have any real religion principles. And they don't execute anything like that. They just don't care. They're just too happy to be where they are. And so in that sense, they're Naradama. They're no principle. They don't have principles in terms of religiosity. And then the Mamaya Aprita Jnana. That individual is a person who is like a poet, someone who's intellectual, or a scientist, very smart. They can create a rocket. You know, they can do so many wonderful things. But they're covered over by Maya. This is what happens. They're so into what and who they are that they become covered over by their own potency that they've been given by Krishna. And this is a person who has a very difficult time to surrender to Krishna. And then, of course, the asura, the atheist, one who denounces Krishna altogether. They say there is no God, and they do everything in their power to discredit Krishna and to annihilate Krishna. So these are the individuals. This is why Krishna comes, to pick out these particular people and try to save them or give them some kind of direction. And the Vedas are very important in this whole system. Very, very important. The Vedas are given us directly by Krishna. He spoke directly to Lord Brahma through the heart. And Brahma took these Vedas and gave them out. So here we see that these Vedas, these Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, these are specific instructions that are given to us by Krishna. So what's that verse? Vedaisa savar aham eva what is that? Vedaisa savar aham eva vijo vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. Yes, in that particular verse, Krishna says that he's the knower of the Vedas. He's the compiler of the Vedas. And he's known by the Vedas. So the Vedas come from Krishna. He's the one that establishes that. And so he gives it to us. But we see that these particular individuals that we describe, they're uppata. This word Prabhupada used, uppata, it's they're disturbing. They cause a disturbance. They just create so many problems, so many difficulties. And these rascals, without reference to any Vedic literature, they pose themselves as being very intellectual, very scholarly. They pose themselves like that, although they're not. So without reference to the Vedas, they can never really understand Krishna consciousness. Neither can they understand devotional service. So these things are really confusing to an ordinary person, an ordinary man. These things are not necessarily something that people think about every day. But that's why Krishna comes, to reestablish those principles. So he comes purposefully, and especially to get rid of those disturbing elements. So when we're reading about these different incarnations of Krishna, it refers to that understanding that these individuals are a disturbance in society, and unless one surrenders and uses the Vedic literatures as their guiding light in life, will become very frustrated. They'll become demoniac and so many other things. So Prabhupada said that religion without scientific understanding through philosophy is sentiment. And he also said that philosophy without a religious understanding is mental speculation. So, as devotees, we have to be very careful that we don't become sentimental in our execution of Krishna consciousness, which means that we have to have a scientific understanding of why and what we do in Krishna consciousness. Because if we don't, then we'll be sentimental about so many things in this philosophy, in the science of Krishna consciousness. And in the execution of that, if the philosophy is there without any religious understanding, then it's mental speculation. And we see so many people that are engrossed in this mental speculation. They speculate because they don't have any real scientific understanding. They really don't. They don't understand. And we see that is going everywhere. And if you look at the world today, because they have no scientific guidance of how to execute Krishna consciousness or, for that matter, God consciousness, they act in so many simple ways. There's no structure in their life. Sometimes when a new devotee comes to Krishna consciousness, they get bewildered, practically baffled of the structure. There's so much structure that they can't practically handle it. It's almost impossible. What do you mean get up at 4 o'clock in the morning? And what do you mean taking a cold shower in the morning and coming over to the temple? What do you mean by chanting Hare Krishna during the Brahma Muhurta hours? Why? For what reason? You know, why hear the Srimad Bhagavatam class? Why worship the spiritual master, Guru Puja? What they don't understand is that that is the scientific method for development of one's Krishna consciousness. Understanding that scientific process rids one of mental speculation. It rids it. And then if we don't engage in that scientific process, we can become very sentimental. Oh, Krishna is so wonderful. Didn't he look beautiful today? But at the same time, what are we doing scientifically to really appreciate that? And that scientific process is what we do every day in Krishna consciousness. That's scientific. To follow the four regulative principles. That's scientific. Our diet, it's scientific. The chanting of Hare Krishna, that is scientific. And what is that for? To develop our love for Krishna, to understand Krishna. So everything that we're doing here, it's not just because of some sentiment or trying to create, you know, a problem for anyone, but it's meant for our development of Krishna consciousness. And this is extremely important. Otherwise, we misinterpret what is the whole principle. We misunderstand why we're here. Like, why are we here? What are we doing here? What is this all about? And this is what's important to understand. We'll become sentimental and we won't understand and we get disturbed and we'll, you know, misinterpret and, you know, create false ego. And no, I don't want to. Why should I? I don't feel like it. All these things don't really fit if one is going to develop a scientific attitude for Krishna consciousness. It's like a person, like a chemist that goes into his laboratory. And they're going to develop a formula. So in the creation of that formula, they have to follow certain steps. If they follow those steps correctly, they'll get the proper result automatically. It's not a question of maybe. Automatically, that result comes if they practice or execute properly. That's really what it's about. And so even for us here as Krishna conscious devotees striving, we need to really become understanding of those scientific situations and processes. And in that way, we can make spiritual advancement and we can become purified. So it says that only a mukta sangasya, a liberated soul, is the only person or persons that can understand devotional service. One must become liberated. Mukta Sangha. Mukta Sangha you get from following the scientific process of Krishna consciousness. Then you become Mukta Sangha. Then one can understand devotional service or the science of Krishna consciousness. That is the process. This is what is important in our everyday Krishna conscious life. And if we abandon, just like a chemist in a lab, if we abandon a part of the formula, then what is the result? It's not going to be the one that you want. And that's how we get sentimental in Krishna consciousness, and that's how we start mentally speculating in Krishna consciousness. So it's very simple. It's not a difficult thing, but it's something that really takes a lot of effort and desire. So the scientific knowledge or understanding of Krishna can only be done by bhakti, only by bhakti yoga. Bhakti yamam abhijananti yavanyasyasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva vishatetar anantaram. That Krishna says that you can understand me as I am by devotional service. No other way. Only by devotional service can you understand Krishna as he is. And if one does this in full consciousness of me, then Krishna actually says that you can enter into the kingdom of God. This is Krishna speaking in the 18th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, text 55. He's telling us, he's giving us the secret. And we say that this bhakti yoga is extremely important to understand Krishna. If that's what our goal is, if our goal is to go back to Krishna, if our goal is to be a devotee, this is what needs to be done. This is the formula. So, to understand Krishna is not easy, definitely. It's not an easy subject matter. It's actually very challenging. And by Krishna's grace, it's possible, though. Although, you know, we may not be very expert at following a formula. We get distracted, whatever. So, by Krishna's grace, it's possible because Krishna is very compassionate. And Krishna was very compassionate with us fallen souls in Kali Yuga. And he appeared as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came and he distributed Krishna freely. And, you know, that's Krishna's right. He can do whatever he wants. We may be struggling so hard to be a devotee, but all of a sudden Krishna can do whatever he wants. If he feels sorry for us or compassionate, he said, okay, I'll come down. And that's what Lord Chaitanya, he came specifically. And Rupa Goswami, he noticed that. Namo Mahavidinaya Krishna Prema Vidayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namin Gota Dusvay Namaha. He could see that Krishna, this incarnation of Lord Chaitanya, was the most munificent incarnation that Krishna ever did. Because he gave Krishna freely. He gave it to everyone with no discrimination. So that was really, when I was reading this, I was thinking, gee, this is amazing. What it reminded me, this is kind of mundane, but it reminded me when I was a kid that we used to watch this one show called The Millionaire. Some of you that are my age might remember that. I don't know exactly the name, the title, but what it was is that it was a very rich person. We don't know we didn't know his identity. But he had an agent, and this agent would search out, you know, nice people that had a hard time. And, you know, they would look up, it would be a family or a person, some hardship, whatever. And then that person's, his job was to actually search out those individuals and then knock on their door. And when they opened the door, he gave them $1 million check. Here it is. And then what was so amazing was that these people would go through so many different feelings. They would cry. They would hug. They would glorify. They would thank God. Tears were profusely coming out of their eyes, and they were hugging, and they were, oh my God, they were just so immersed in thankfulness and that they got this $1 million. So I was thinking, wow, Lord Chaitanya, you know, when he was in his pastimes with his devotees, they would cry. When they would see him, they would cry. And they would actually just roll in ecstasy. And they would be enlivened, engladdened. They'd be freed. They would be mukta sangha. They would be freed from material activity. They didn't care about any of that. And they lost hankering and lamentation. Just like that person that got $1 million check. All their hankering and lamentation became satisfied. They could get whatever they wanted. And this is, mind you, in the 50s. So $1 million in those days is like 10 million today. So they felt complete ecstasy. They were gladdened, enlightened, happy, dancing in ecstasy. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and his associates with him, they became engladdened. They became enlightened. They became free from hankering and lamentation. They became completely absorbed in just chanting the holy name of Krishna in the association. So how fortunate are we? You can give me $1 million. At my age, I don't even know what to do with it. I wouldn't be able to spend it in time. But I would rather take the mercy of Lord Chaitanya any day. That is really the real substance, because this is for eternity. That $1 million is just for your lifespan at most. And it's although it's, it creates so much ecstasy for a moment, but still, look at how fortunate we are. That, okay, it may be very difficult for us to execute Krishna consciousness. We may have a hard time for so many reasons. But if we just stay in Krishna consciousness, and we serve. If we serve just out of love, it doesn't have to be just love. Oh, I'm so grateful, so thankful. Let me serve Krishna just out of love. And we continue to engage in Krishna's service with love. Then there's an opportunity for us to go back home, back to Godhead. Tesam satitam yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. The Dami Buddhi Yogantam Yenamam Yupayanti Te. This is what Krishna wants from us. He is our love. And if we can't, okay, we can't do this, we can't do that. But every one of us can do something for Krishna. Every one of us. Something for Krishna. Make a garland, sweep the floor, clean the car. Something, any little thing. King Pratchaparudra became famous because once a year he would take the brush and sweep in front of Lord Jagannath's cart. And from that service, Lord Jagannath gave him unlimited amount of mercy. So we as devotees, you know, we have this great opportunity. And this is how we can understand the science of Krishna and all these different incarnations. Otherwise, you know and I know, are we going to remember all these things? I don't know if I'm going to remember any of that when I'm dying. The Manvantars, I hope I remember Lord Nrsingadev. But, you know, the point being is that we have to hear these things because they're part of the process of development of faith in Krishna consciousness. That there is faith, that there is something here. It's not just some speculation or it's not some sentimental thing that we're professing here. But it's scientific. And that scientific process helps you go back home, back to Godhead. That's the importance of this. Okay, I have a lot to say, but I have to quit here. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.